It's time for the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now here's Ryan Wallace on the Golden Knights Radio Network.
Welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 3-2 to the Dallas Stars. Dallas now leads the series 3-2, and the Golden Knights season is on the line. Friday night inside T-Mobile Arena, game number 6. To help us break this one down, we go back to Dallas. We go back to the radio booth. We bring in the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva. And you know what, Dan, you look at this game, kind of the thing for me is going to be discipline, right? It's two games in a row now where penalties do cost the Golden Knights in that second period, and then just an inability to find that offensive touch, that next goal in the third.
Yeah, the trouble is the penalties are needless penalties. Yeah. If you take a slash or a hold defending the net, it's a, I don't want to say easy to swallow, but easier to swallow. But a couple of penalties have been just frustration or whatever, not really involved in the play itself. And you know, that's what hurt the Stars in the series against the Knights last year. And Bruce Cassidy said it on our pregame show today. Credit the Stars for being more disciplined in this series than they were against the Knights in the postseason last time around. And, hey, it's not as though it's been a series marred by penalties, as sometimes we have seen over the years. It just happens to be the ones that are taken are particularly noticeable. They're being capitalized upon, the critical goal for Johnston in the last game. And then, of course, Robertson in today's game. Just very timely goals after unfortunately timed Vegas penalties from a Vegas point of view. It just goes to show, Ryan, how close these two teams are. Yeah. Vegas could have won Game 4. They could have won Game 5. And when teams are so close, built so similarly, and playing well, the difference will sometimes be whose mistakes are more glaring. And right now, that's the case. There aren't too many mistakes you can point to for the Dallas side. I'm not saying they are playing perfect hockey, but it's hard to think of too many occasions when Dallas made a mistake and Vegas, there just haven't been that many mistakes, regardless of whether the Knights have capitalized or not. There just haven't been that many.
Yeah.
And obviously, the Stars have capitalized opportunistically. So that's just how close these teams are. So when it is that close, you think about what are the Knights' strengths. How can Bruce Cassidy tap into those, try to make this a 3-3 series and force a Game 7?
You know, when you look at the lineup tweaks tonight for the Golden Knights, you had Ivan Barbashev down with Nick Waugh and Will Carrier. I liked a lot of what that line did below the goal lines. And you look at Tomas Hertl with Jack Eichel and Jonathan Marchessault. Were there any tweaks to the lineup that, you know, you look at and you say, okay, patience here. Let's see another go at it in Game 6.
I can't say that I feel very strongly about any of the forward lines staying together. Howden, Carlson, and Amadio were very good in Game 4, and they got a goal. You know, if Brett Howden's shot goes off the post and in early in this game, we could be having a very different conversation. Fact of the matter is, went off the post and out. You know, Will Carlson does not have a point in the series, nor does Shea Theodore, nor does Alex Petrangelo. So you try to find those guys. And listen, sometimes, as we saw, particularly Vegas against Edmonton last year, William Carlson is so good at defending another team's top line that you almost don't worry about points coming from them. You just want them to shut down the opposing top line. Well, that's not exactly how it's unfolded here. So as well as they've played, if it changes up, wouldn't surprise me. The fact that Pavel Dorofeev only played 7 or so minutes, that tells me that there's not enough there for that group to stay together. Naturally, they shortened the bench because they were down by a goal for about 23 and a half minutes of this game. And I'm not sure. What do you think, Ryan? I'm not sure that I am firmly sold one way or the other on any of the forward combos that we saw today.
Yeah, I don't really. Again, I think Barbashev with Waugh and Carrier seem to get more of the job done, but until you get a little bit more out of Mark Stone, a little bit more out of Chandler Stephenson, find the right spot for Tomas Hertl, I think you're going to have to continue to try to shake some things up. Now, last one for you. It's an easy one. Who do you start in Game 6? Is it Logan Thompson or is it Aiden Hill?
And as easy as it gets. My gut would say Logan Thompson, he was the guy who earned it going into the postseason, played very well. Naturally, he was outstanding in the loss in Game 3, 43 saves and 46 shots. And, of course, then lost Game 4 as well. But he was not the reason for either of the losses. Very much the opposite, if not for his showing in Game 3. That game would not have gone to overtime. It would have been decided much, much earlier. He was that good. I think that what Bruce told us on the pregame show, I'll take him at his word, there was a plan to have Thompson play and then get Hill in at some point. Part of that is Hill hasn't played in 13 days. You'll probably need him at some point if you hope to go far, and you give Logan a break. Think about some of the stretches he's had. Recently, he had a six-game winning streak. The first five of those six, he allowed exactly one goal, but he started to falter in that sixth game. Maybe they feel, hey, let's give Logan a little bit of a run. He played four games in a row. Let's give him a breather, get him back in for game six, especially because of his home numbers are particularly good. If you look at the splits, and I know that this is not the end-all be-all, but Thompson in the regular season, his home record, 16-5-1. Road record, 9-9-4. Again, not the be-all, end-all. Obviously, Hill's numbers were also good in both home and road, but Thompson was notably better at home. Maybe that's some of it. Hill, again, the other thing Bruce talked about, the type of way that the Stars play, Hill is bigger. Some of that factors into it. Of course, the previous success. I frankly would not be surprised either way. I would not be surprised either way, but at the same time, I think that Logan earned the game one job. I don't think he lost it. So it seems to me that they would go back to him. That's just a guess. I have no inside knowledge. And again, I wouldn't be surprised either way. What would you do, Ryan?
To me, it's Logan Thompson. Right, yeah. Because for all the reasons that you mentioned, Dan, I think the fact that he had earned that game one start, he played so well through the first four games, nearly stole game three for the Golden Knights. I just think you go back to him, you let him try to finish the job is kind of how I see it.
Yeah, and with elimination right in front of him, if for whatever reason Logan is not sharp, if he's not up to snuff, well, then you can go right to Aiden Hill. I think that's sort of how I think about it. Not that you would plan to make a goalie change in an elimination game, but I think that might be the move. But it was, I suppose it was encouraging that Aiden, though he does suffer the loss and gave up three goals, you'd be hard-pressed to say that he was the reason why the Knights lost today. The Knights only scored two times. So I think you, at the very least, you feel better about putting Aiden Hill into the lineup because he had not been as sharp as you would have liked in the handful of games he played in the month of April.
All right, great stuff as always, Dan. Enjoy the rest of your night, and we'll chat on Friday.
Thanks, Ryan. Good night.
That is the voice of the Golden Knights, Dan Duva, helping us break down a 3-2 loss in Game 5 of the Vegas Golden Knights to the Dallas Stars. We're back with more on the VGK Postgame Show, presented by Lee's Discount Liquor. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The Golden Knights scored in the first period tonight, so make sure you have the McDonald's app downloaded to redeem your free French fries of any size at your local McDonald's tomorrow. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights drop game 5, 3-2 to the Dallas Stars. Dallas now an opportunity to close this one out Friday night, game 6, inside T-Mobile Arena. And the Golden Knights, defending Stanley Cup champions, looking to stave off elimination in that game on Friday. The postgame injury report is brought to you by UMC, the exclusive hospital of the Vegas Golden Knights. Nick Haig remains unavailable for the Vegas Golden Knights lower body injury. You saw quite the lineup shakeup from Bruce Cassidy. You had Ivan Barbashev playing with Nick Waugh and William Carrier. You saw Tomas Hertl alongside Jack Eichel. And didn't quite work out offensively, but let's hear from Bruce Cassidy as he breaks this one down.
Got to take a number and, try to get those things squared away lately. Listen, Dallas went through it last year, right? Ben got thrown out, if you remember. And so there's a little bit of a learning curve that goes into it. And we should know better, to go back to your question, but it happens. And we've got one more game, obviously, to get it squared away because margins are too thin right now, especially their power play. It's going well the way they operate their power play. Guy like Nick Hag, was a long body, can help defend how they throw pucks at the net. We don't have them available, so it even gives them another advantage. So we're going to have to make some adjustments on how we kill. I thought we did, as the game went on, did a better job. Obviously, the last goal, Robertson just made a nice play to find space. But going back to your question, that we have to take care of our discipline. Just have to. It's that simple.
Another close game. With the line changes you made, did you see some of the things you were hoping to see with the different combinations?
Like Nick Waugh's line a lot. Will Carrier had a lot of juice tonight. Puck was finding him, scored a goal, but that's his game where he's driving wide and creating havoc. But I'm rarely, they're always a line you can rely on, no matter, you know, whether Coley's on it or if Barbie have to go in for Nick when he, or for Will, sorry, when he had his upper body injury. So I like that line. I thought Hurdle had the puck more, made more plays with Jack, so more involved in the game. Obviously, Pav, he didn't get the minutes. I just thought it was a heavy game for him. We weren't sure how that would play out, but we knew we could double shift a guy in there if that wasn't going to work out. It allowed us to get Marshy a few more minutes, especially a guy that wasn't on the penalty kill, so he gets sitting for a while. I thought we did a decent job creating offense. I mean, they're a good hockey team, so that's why you're doing it. But you still have to check, and that's overall how you're going to win the game. If we, you know, check well, we feel we're as good as anybody. And so even though we shuffled lines, the message was still, get offense from good neutral zone defense and good D-zone coverage and forecheck situations, create loose pucks and put some anxiety in their game so you do get going the other way. So at the end of the day, I would have to look at it closer. We didn't win, so when you do something and you don't win, you're always going to look in the mirror and wonder if it was the right thing to do. But obviously there was some good in there and some that I'll probably look at and say, well, that didn't work.
Where have the shortcomings been offensively at 5-on-5?
Well, the rush game for both teams, I think, hasn't been what you normally see during the year. They got a few looks in the second period. They got behind us. As I said, they're throwing some pucks out in the neutral zone winning races. They got, I think it was Dadonov, got behind our D once. The other time, we just mishandled the puck, right? I mean, we just overskated it. We thought we were going one way, kept them in a change, and off it went. So that's puck management. Offensively, getting out of their swarm. I thought in the third period, both games, we've done a better job trying to find the open guy, and then whether it's a D-man attacking. I think we had a couple of opportunities to make something happen. We turned down shots or didn't get the rebound or didn't hit the net, so that's part of it. Power play scored for us tonight. I thought had some good looks, so we got more opportunities on that. Sometimes it's just finishing, right? You run into goaltenders that are playing well, and I think if you look at this series, it's been a well-goaltended series in general. I don't think you could say that Hilly tonight and Logan or Ottinger's had a poor game.
You got to win one game. It's in your building. What do you hang your hat on to, in a positive way, that you can get that done?
Well, I still think these last two games that, you know, we're right there. And in the second period, late again, got away from us for puck management and discipline and allowed them to get going. So we'll hang our hat on the other stuff that, you know, we feel we're playing a pretty good game. When we manage the puck and make the plays that are in front of us, they're never going to be perfect. They're quick. They're a team that gets on you. We obviously have to make a few adjustments on them leaving the zone early, how we can manage that better. But I thought when they were doing that, when we got the puck and collected it, you know, sort of countered quickly, we were pretty good. We were going. So there's give and take with when you do that. And they got some opportunities. I thought we did because of that. So we'll hang our hats on the fact that we're the defending Stanley Cup champion, so there's lots of resolve in that room, a lot of winners in that room, a lot of pride in that room. So we got to go home and win one game at home in the playoffs. I mean, we should be able to, you know, that's something we're certainly capable of. Will it happen? Dallas doesn't have a lot of say in that, so it's not this obstacle that we can't do. It's a home win, so let's get after it, get some rest tomorrow, and be ready to go.
Aiden hadn't played in a while. How'd you think he played?
I thought he was good. It's a tough way to start a 2-on-1. power play goal, they do that well. They get people around the net. You know, it's a deflection, that loose puck. He's reacting to the original shot, and they swat at it. So, and the last goal was a nice shot. I mean, they came over, again, a shot block that they came out of the pile, make a nice creative play. Second period, made some odd man rush stops. So, listen, he gave us a chance to win. Did his job. And as I said, well goaltended series, and you know, their guy made a big save on Stevie, right? That you know, some big saves during the game, and that's why it ends up a one goal game, and we just got to finish a little better. Like I said, I thought he played well.
That was head coach Bruce Cassidy as he addressed the media after tonight's 3-2 loss to the Dallas Stars. Touched on discipline obviously being a factor for the Golden Knights moving forward, and then kind of branching out from there. You know, need to finish obviously for the Golden Knights, but not to get two down. The Golden Knights have an opportunity to extend their season with a home victory on Friday. They're the defending Stanley Cup champions. Bruce Cassidy spoke to the resolve of the group in the room, and I think that you look at that from that perspective, it should and could bode well for the Vegas Golden Knights. Take a break, come back with highlights next on the VGK postgame show presented by Lee's Discount Liquor. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
The excitement of the Indoor Football League is back at Lee's Family Forum in Henderson with the undefeated Vegas Nighthawks off to their best start in team history. Visit NighthawksFootball.com to learn more. It's the VGK postgame show. The Golden Knights fall 3-2 to the Dallas Stars in Game 5. Dallas now leads the series 3-2. And the Golden Knights are playing for their season Friday at home inside T-Mobile Arena. No start time just yet for that game. Probably be impacted by the conclusion, the finish of LA-Edmonton. Edmonton up 1-0 right now on the Los Angeles Kings with about 5 minutes left in the first period. Let's take a look at the highlights in this game. We go back to the first period, and you know, I wanted a quick start and more power play opportunities for the Golden Knights in this game. I got both as Mark Stone opened the scoring 4 minutes in with a power play goal.
Low to high, finds Hanifin. Lefty shoots. Score! Redirection in front, and the Knights take a 1-0 lead. Mark Stone between the circles. It's like an instant replay of game one. Vegas has a power play goal 4 minutes in.
Mark Stone's second goal of the series, a power play marker from Noah Hanifin and Jack Eichel. 4 minutes in, made it 1-0 Vegas. The Stars answered 1 minute later as a turnover in the neutral zone fed a transition goal for Evgeny Dodonov.
Eichel coming up to the Stars line, dislodged by Haskinen. Stars break in. Stankoven with Dodonov, centering, score! Dallas ties it in transition. Evgeny Dodonov's second goal in as many games, set up by Logan Stankoven.
Evgeny Dodonov from Logan Stankoven and Wyatt Johnston, 5:02 of the first period, tied the game at one. Then the Stars took the lead with a power play goal of their own as Matt Duchene finished off a rebound.
Seals the near side post as the puck comes out high. From the left side, Sagan into the slot, redirect try, score! Rattled around in front. The garbage cleaned up on the left side of the crease. Duchene makes it 2-1 Dallas with a power play goal.
Matt Duchene's first of the series on the power play from Wyatt Johnston and Tyler Seguin. 8:04 of the first period made it 2-1 Dallas, but the Golden Knights found the equalizer 4 minutes later as Will Carrier jammed a puck by Jake Oettinger.
Gets to the side of the net, he stops and scores! William Carrier, spinorama from the trapezoid, out to the right post. The lefty hammers it home. Vegas ties it 2-2. William Carrier's first point of the postseason.
First of the playoffs for Will Carrier from Ivan Barbashev and Braden McNabb. 12:31 of the first period made it 2-2. So we'd head to the second period, all knotted up, all even at 2 apiece. And for the second game in a row, the Golden Knights were done in on an undisciplined penalty after Alex Pietrangelo went off for roughing. Jason Robertson put the Stars ahead with a power play goal.
Top Haskinen to the right, Robertson, top of the circle, delays to the slot, he shoots, blocked, another try, he scores! Robertson gets his own rebound and puts Dallas on top 3-2 with a power play goal.
Third of the playoffs for Jason Robertson. Second on the power play from Miro Haskinen and Jamie Benn. 16:32 of the second period made it 3-2 Dallas. So we'd head to the third period in Game 5 the same way that we headed to the third period in Game 4. The Golden Knights staring down a 3-2 deficit, and though the Golden Knights would push, and there was a couple of chances, one specifically Chandler Stephenson on the breakaway, Jake Oettinger shut the door, and all that was left in this game was the final call.
Watt cuts in, going right circle. Watt looking back to the middle. A shot from Theodore over the net, and the clock runs out. The Stars win. Three wins in a row for the Dallas Stars to take a 3-2 series lead in the best-of-seven first round. Trailed 1-0 today. Come from behind and win it 3-2.
There you have it, 3-2 the final. The Golden Knights drop Game 5. Dallas now leads the series 3-2, and the Golden Knights must win on Friday, Game 6, to keep their season alive. 702-876-1340, that's the text line. Instant reactions after every Golden Knights game. You want to get your thoughts and opinions in, you go to the text line first. I'm going to jump on the first comment that I see. It's from Peter. Knights will take them in 7. And that's where you have to be right now if you're a Golden Knight fan. Like, listen, it's 3 losses in a row. For all intents and purposes, you're looking at it, it's an overtime game that, frankly, if you're looking at a game that should have been a multi-goal loss for the Golden Knights, it should have been Game 3. Logan Thompson was excellent. You almost steal that one in overtime. It's a one-goal game. Game 4, I know there's an empty netter there late by the Dallas Stars, but again, a one-goal game. Every single game in this series has been a one-goal game. When Pete DeBoer was talking about this series after the first 2 games, he talked about how razor-thin the margins have been. How razor-thin the margins are between the Dallas Stars and the defending Stanley Cup champion Vegas Golden Knights. 5 games in, I don't see a lie there. 5 games in, if you're a Golden Knights fan, you have to look at this from that perspective. They have been right in it. You heard from Bruce Cassidy after this game. They're right there. They just got to find a way to make a play, and they have to, and I mean have to, be disciplined in game number 6. You cannot take undisciplined penalties. Right now, the Dallas Stars have some good feelings about their power play, and because those margins are so thin, you cannot feed chances. That's what the Golden Knights are going to have to focus on for game 6 if they want to keep their season alive. But as Cassidy said, they're defending Stanley Cup champions. There's a lot of pride in that room. There's a lot of resolve in that room. You don't get to where they went to last year without finding ways when it seems like you're not going to be able to. That's what awaits the Golden Knights on Friday. Take a break. Wrap it up next on the VGK postgame show, presented by Lee's Discount Liquor. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
We're back to the Vegas Golden Knights postgame show. Now, here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here on the VGK postgame show, the Golden Knights drop game 5, 3-2 to the Dallas Stars. Vegas must win on Friday in game 6 at T-Mobile Arena to keep their season alive. Tonight's game recap is brought to you by Universal Windows and Solar for the Golden Knights. It started off well enough. You get a power play goal 4 minutes into the game. It's Mark Stone, captain's on the board. You're working. You're finding more power play opportunities, certainly than in tonight's game, than you had at any point in time in the series before. And then you mismanage a puck in the neutral zone and ends up in the back of your net a minute and 2 seconds later. And then penalties continue to go in the game, but not just for the Golden Knights, but for the Dallas Stars. Dallas scores a power play goal. They take the lead in the first period. And then Vegas ties it up. William Carrier, his first of the playoffs, that newly constructed fourth line with Ivan Barbashev and Nick Waugh. And now it's just about not making mistakes. And then the Golden Knights take some undisciplined penalties in the second period. Alex Pietrangelo for roughing. Dallas, Jason Robertson score on the ensuing power play. And then the Stars going into the third period, they just went into a defensive shell. And while the Golden Knights did have some looks, there weren't a ton of grade A quality scoring chances. There were some, but not enough that really made you feel like the Golden Knights were going to be able to come back in this game? Credit Jake Oettinger. He made the saves. Credit Dallas for collapsing around Oettinger. But for the Golden Knights, you have to find a way to be more disciplined in game number six. You have to find a new level of desperation going into game six as well. The season is on the line. That's going to do it for us here on the VGK postgame show. Extended postgame show, your phone calls, that's next. Presented by Lee's Discount Liquor. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network postgame show, where the station's staying on for more game highlights, interviews, and your phone calls coming up next at 702-876-1340. Good night, and thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network. It's the extended Vegas Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Las Vegas, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Let your voice be heard by calling in at 702-876-1340. Now here's your host, Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. The Golden Knights drop game 5, 3-2 to the Dallas Stars. Dallas now leads the series 3-2. The Golden Knights season is on the line. Friday, game 6. No time on that yet. I would expect it to be somewhere in the ballpark of 6 p.m., 7 p.m. start time, but we won't know for sure until L.A. Edmonton concludes, and it's tied 1-1 at the end of the first period. There's your update on a start time for game number 6. Pretty important one for the defending Stanley Cup champion Vegas Golden Knights. 702-876-1340, that's the number, 702-876-1340. Here are the questions. You can ignore them. You can answer them. But I expect full lines tonight. Lines open right now. 702-876-1340. Who are you starting in game number 6? Who are you starting in game number 6? Is it Logan Thompson, who's been stellar through the first 4 games of this series? Is it Aiden Hill, who I look at in tonight's game, played pretty well? I don't look at this as a goalie loss by any stretch. I think goaltending hasn't been an issue for the Golden Knights. It's been more productivity 5-on-5. They just haven't been able to find enough sustained offense, shift over shift, line over line. And then what tweaks would you make? Obviously, Bruce Cassidy threw a lot of lineup tweaks into this game. Hurdle with Eichel and Marchessault. Carrier, Waugh, and Barbashev. And then Dorofiev in with Stevenson and Stone. Did you like a particular line? Did a line stand out to you? Or what would you do? What do you want to see in Game 6 with the season on the line? 702-876-1340. Lines are open right now. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, many things on my mind, two of which are addressing your question. I guess the Pavel Dorofeyev experiment is over. It would seem to be anyway, and that's too bad because he's a fan darling, but maybe possibly Pavel, bless his heart, is just not ready for that particular level of play yet. But that doesn't mean he's done. If we advance in the playoffs, he by no means, I think, is done. Secondly, I'll take the opposite route here and say, believe it or not, that Aiden Hill will start in game 6. And the reason I say that is because both Sean and Coach Cassidy are in love with him. They absolutely love what he brings to the table. He will get the nod over Logan in most cases, and he didn't do anything to lose the job. So I'm going to take the opposing view, and I know it's opposing from your view as well because you stated it, that Aiden Hill will start game 6, I believe.
I mean, I certainly can see that happening. Aiden Hill won a Stanley Cup last year, right? So you trust that because he's been there and because he's done that before, that he can get back to that level. I view it as a scenario here where Logan was excellent. Logan earned the job down the stretch. He earned that game 1 start. He played so well in the third. In game number 3, I thought he was strong again in game 4. I think there's no wrong answer here. but I still have to believe that it's going to be Logan Thompson in game number six. Just you give him a break, you let the body recuperate, and you hope that he's got another game three performance in him.
And you will probably, as most people will be, right, because it doesn't make any sense. But then Sean Burke and Coach Cassidy, when it comes to goaltending, don't often make a lot of sense.
Well, that's I mean, they rode,
well,
again, Aiden Hill to a Stanley Cup last year.
Well, no, but in terms of what you'd expect, I mean, not obviously. They know more than we'll ever know.
Yeah.
But they really love the work that Aiden Hill does, and that's why I think that he has a shot at starting on in game six, and that's all. It's not that he's better or worse. He just is beloved by the people who care about him the most. Now, the other things, and nobody wants to pile on Alex tonight. It's just superfluous to do it. He is a veteran who has taken 1,000 hits like he took tonight, at least in his career. And what does he do? He turns around and slaps the guy upside the head. I have no idea. He has no idea. Nobody has an idea why he did it. So he did it. It's over. Can't do anything about it.
No, Mike, let me jump in just for a second here. I think I have a pretty clear idea as to why Alex Pietrangelo did what he did.
Okay.
It was Tyler Seguin. It was Tyler Seguin. Seguin took the run at Shea Theodore. I don't know. I'm not in Dallas. I wasn't in the room. I didn't get a chance to talk to Alex. But I think that was a scenario where you're in the corner, you're battling, you think you might be able to get a shot in on a guy that you thought ran one of your players, one of your defensemen. I think that that was very clearly in a situation where I think Pietrangelo wanted Tyler Seguin to know that he was around and that that type of run at Shea Theodore is not going to happen again.
Okay, and certainly you have to defend your players, but there's got to be a better way to do it than slapping a guy upside the head and expecting the referees to ignore it. So he knows that that wasn't the right response in that particular moment. The thing that bothers me and has bothered me all season, and Ryan, I know you're going to push back on this, and you probably should. I watch every minute of every game, of every practice. I see it all. And I can't imagine any human being getting more breakaways than Chandler Stephenson gets for the Golden Knights, and he hardly ever converts. It's frustrating for me. That's all. I mean, I don't know what to do about it because obviously he's a UFA, but it's still frustrating. And we saw it again tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not pushing back on that. You're allowed to be frustrated when you have a player on a breakaway. He has an opportunity to score, tie the game. It's a big moment, and it doesn't work out. Thanks, Mike, for the call. I mean, Chandler's impeded a little bit. There's certainly an opportunity where you can call a penalty on that. Miro Heiskanen does a great job of pestering him in those moments. I don't know. I can't recall in my mind every single Chandler Stephenson breakaway, but there was a stretch in time where Chandler Stephenson couldn't miss on a breakaway. It's a product of him having speed. It's a product of Mark Stone finding him. It's a product of doing the right things to get him behind. Sometimes you just got to tip your cap to the goaltender. You're not going to score on every chance that you get. And that's one of the other things that I think is worth kind of mentioning here. You can do all the work. You can go do all the legwork. You can make the plays in the corner. You can find that perfect pass. And if it's just off the stick, if it's healed a bit, if you're going up against a goaltender that finds a way to make a save on a breakaway, like, you can do everything right and not finish. And I think right now the Golden Knights are doing a lot of things right, and they're not finishing. Got to give a lot of credit to Dallas. I'm not going to sit here and say Chandler Stephenson never scores on breakaways. He does. I understand being frustrated in this moment. I understand being frustrated that he wasn't able to convert in this situation. But at the same time, I think that there are other opportunities for the Golden Knights to score. Certainly, power plays could have been impactful for Vegas beyond just the opening goal from Mark Stone. And there's a lot of different areas that you can look at and say that Vegas needs to be better. 702-876-1340. Their line's open right now. We're talking about the defending Stanley Cup champion, Vegas Golden Knights. I know this game, the result, not what you want it to be, but we have open lines right now. And you know, Mike brought up Alex Pietrangelo and the penalty. I've seen a lot of the frustration with the undisciplined penalties. I'm going to make this very clear. The Golden Knights do not win a Stanley Cup last year without Alex Pietrangelo. So I get being frustrated. I get not loving the penalties the last couple of games. But you live with that right now because of what Pietrangelo has meant to this team, what he did for this team last year, and the banner that's in the rafters at T-Mobile Arena. That's all I've got to say on that. 702-876-1340. Pick up the phone. Give me a call. Let's talk about the Golden Knights. More of your phone calls next on the Extended Post Game Show. Fox Sports, Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Vegas Golden Knights Post Game Show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 702-876-1340. That's the number. Golden Knights season on the line, game six Friday, T-Mobile Arena. Drop this one 3-2 in Dallas to the Stars. 702-876-1340. We have lines open right now. The questions that I have for you: who starts game six? And was there any tweak up front, forwards, that you liked enough to want to see again in game number six? 702-876-1340. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Chris. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Doing well, although I'm having an eerie sense of deja vu. It seems like it was only a couple days ago that we were talking about a late mistake in the second period by our top defenseman that led to, instead of going into the break with a 2-2 game and having that momentum, going in with a 3-2 deficit and having to face a Dallas team that just packs it in the third period, knowing they have the lead. I'm having that feeling of hand grenades and horseshoes, is because I listened to Cassidy talk about, well, we're close and we're doing some good things right, but close won't get you to a Stanley Cup. And I think I'm concerned with the lack of chemistry and the lack of performance. It looks like Carlson is laboring out there. Mm-hmm. We talked about Dorofeev not being able to produce tonight, but a lot of when Dorofeev was producing, it was having Carlson being able to feed him, and Carlson looks to me like he's struggling some. Stone looks like he's struggling some at times, and then Hurdle, for such a top-notch player that we just can't find a place to place him. So you asked about, who am I looking for to keep the lines the same? I wouldn't keep Hurdle on the top line. I don't think that gave us the offensive production that we wanted and needed. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see Dorofeev come out. And as far as the question of who do I see in goal on Friday, I think you go back to Logan Thompson. Logan Thompson has won you your only two games you've won in this series. He kept you in game three and almost goalie a win for us in that game. I appreciate they wanted to give Hill a chance, but Hill just did not win the job back in my mind.
Yeah, that's great stuff, Chris. Thanks for the call. On William Carlson, he's playing the games. Practicing has been limited, but he's playing the games. I don't believe – you're at the time of the year where I don't think anyone's 100%. Mark Stone, you're coming off of a lacerated spleen. He's only five games into his return there. I don't think Mark Stone's hit his stride just yet. Tomas Hertl, though he's played 10, now 11 games for the Golden Knights, still coming off of a knee surgery, so I'm not terribly surprised that he hasn't kind of hit the ground running. Now, that being said, I think that, your point on Dorofeev's probably the right one. I think Dorofeev's coming out of the lineup. I do think that you're hopeful that William Carlson can kind of return to form. And I agree with you. I think Logan Thompson gets the net in game number six, but that's just my opinion. Let's go out to the phone lines, bring in Marianne. Hey, Marianne, how you doing?
Hi, Ryan. I'm doing fine. I just want to let you know I 100% agree with what you said. We're going to take it in seven. All these people are giving up. What is wrong with him? We have come so far from the hole, with no one else being sick on, I think, Dallas' team. And our guy, Alex, he only had an appendectomy 3 weeks ago. I mean, I had one when I was 5 years old, and you can barely stand or walk after 2 weeks, you know? And same with Logan Carlson, same with all our guys. These people just need to kind of give us that extra energy for two more games, unless they don't want Stanley Cup. But our guys are doing, I mean, they're proof. Like, right now, they just need their timing down. It's just like, once they get that, we'll be fine, you know? Anyway.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, Marianne. Thanks so much for the call. Always a beacon of positivity. Listen, you got to win one game, right? You go home, you win a game, and then all of a sudden, it's best of seven for a reason. It's an opportunity to do something pretty fun. The second time around, it's never going to be as easy as it was the first time around. The first time's not easy either. So you had to expect that this was going to come. The Golden Knights, at no point in time last postseason, faced an elimination game. Four rounds of the playoffs, won a Stanley Cup, never faced an elimination game. So it's the first time in a long time that their backs are truly against the wall. I'm interested to see what they do with that opportunity. Let's go back out of the phone lines, bring in Fernando. Hey, Fernando, how you doing?
Doing okay, Ryan. Tough loss tonight, but I'm with you. Start Logan Thompson in the net on Friday night, and let's go back to our game two lineup. And start from there. And we got to be positive, and we want our fans to come out Friday night, show up and be loud, and lead our team on. And we'll win Friday, and we'll go to game seven and steal that game over there in Dallas. And got to stay positive. And
All right. Fantastic, Fernando. Love it. Love it. The positivity. 702-876-1340. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Bring in Jason. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Hey, good, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. You got to talk me off the ledge. This is feeling pretty bad right now.
What specifically do you want me to talk to you?
Go ahead, dude.
Well, I'm just going to say, it's hockey's tough, man. Like, I mean, that's really what it boils down to. Like, you know, this is a matchup that's worthy of a Western Conference final. It happens in the first round. I'm not going to sit here and talk about the schedule or anything like that, or, you know, the playoff format. You have to beat good teams to win a Stanley Cup. The Golden Knights did that last year, including the Dallas Stars. It's never, ever easy. It's impossible at times to repeat, and you're getting a really tough test right now against the Dallas Stars. But let's see how they do in an elimination game. Let's see how the Golden Knights respond with that desperation needed, and we'll kind of go from there.
I wanted to ask you what you think about pulling Hurdle out.
Yeah, I don't think that that's going to be an option for the Golden Knights. You bring in Tomas Hurdle to be a difference maker. I know he hasn't found a fit 5-on-5, but you heard kind of from Bruce Cassidy after the game today, he said that Hurdle at least had more puck touches. It's not going to be overnight, but you're hopeful that one of these moves, one of these situations kind of click for him. And I think you can't take Hurdle out of the lineup. You got to see if you can find that place, because if you can and you do, he can be a difference maker for you over the final two games of the series.
I totally agree, but I'm worried he's too slow. I saw him coming back up ice, missed a back check. You know, stuff like that. It's Dallas is a fast team. We're going to play faster teams as we go. So I love the guy. Absolutely love him. I see all the positives. I'm just worried about his speed.
Yeah, I think that might be a product, Jason, again, of, you know, returning off of a knee injury, returning off of a knee surgery. I think that it's probably going to take him a little bit of time to get to that top flight. And thanks so much for the call. I just think that season on the line, you need your best players in there. And Tomas Hurdle is one of the Golden Knights' best players. Even if you haven't found the fit just yet, he's absolutely one of those guys. Let's go back out of the phone lines, bring in Jeff. Hey, Jeff, how you doing? Oh, okay. No, Jeff. We'll take a break. Come back with more next on the Extended Post Game Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Back to your calls on the Extended Golden Knights postgame show. Here's Ryan Wallace.
Wrapping it up here, extended postgame show, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 3-2 the final. The Dallas Stars win game 5 take a 3-2 series lead over the Vegas Golden Knights. Game 6 goes Friday night. No time on it yet, but I guarantee it'll be a fun night. I'm just saying, listen, until the defending Stanley Cup champions are done, they're not done. One game at home, force a Game 7, and then anything can happen. This is what the playoffs are all about. This is why playoff hockey is the best in the world. And this is why I cannot wait for Friday night. That's going to do it for me here on the Extended Post Game Show. Thanks to James Davis down here, making sure everything sounds great. Thanks to Bobby Machado back in the studio for keeping us on the air. And thanks to you, our listeners and our callers. It is your post game show. It's not as much fun without your calls and your input. Until Friday, have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you then right here on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Thanks for listening to the Extended Golden Knights postgame show on Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. Your home for the Vegas Golden Knights. Have a good night and drive safe.